Can you hear me? Just about, I'll put my headphones on. According to Exodus chapter 38, 603,550 men left Egypt. From Genesis, we are told that 66 souls came with Jacob into Egypt out of his loins, beside his son's wives. 70 souls of Jacob were in Egypt, excluding Jacob, as we find in Exodus chapter 1. Jochebed was conceived in the land and born in Egypt, which is included in Numbers. Find out in Numbers 26 and verse 59. Joseph and Joseph's two sons were already in Egypt, and Stephen gave 75 souls as the kindred of Joseph. So we've got three different numbers there that add up in a way when you look at it. Four generations separated the two events of the going into Egypt and the Exodus itself. Levi, Kohath, Amram, and Moses. And in the time from leaving Egypt to our chapter for today, an extra 22,200 have been added to the census. The number is still 603,550, but now excluding the Levites. So why had Pharaoh been upset? Well, the record tells us, Pharaoh said there are going to be more of them than there are of us, and if an enemy attacks us, we'll join with them. And so Pharaoh had been upset. So Exodus 1:7, children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, and multiplied and waxed exceeding mighty, and the land was filled with them. Now, when it comes to thousands, the Hebrew word is it, which could mean chieftains. And some are saying, well, it's chieftains. There weren't that many people. But the record is telling us that there were. Of the 603,550, 22,273 were firstborn. That makes a ratio of 27 to 1. 27 firstborn sons of the that number, and it fits exactly with what the record is telling us. As we shall see, read tomorrow, and the Levi on the difference between the firstborn and the Levites, there were 22,000 Levites, 22,273 firstborn. The difference is 273 at 5 shekels apiece is 1,365 shekels. And the record is consistent. Today's reading is with the layout of the camp around the tabernacle. From yesterday's reading, we can add the numbers to it because we're told how many were in each tribe. Beyond that, we can compare them with the next census in Numbers 26. See the increases and the decreases in the numbers within the tribes. Some of the things that you see, the pictures of the camp around the tabernacle, normally put the lead tribe on the corner, so Judah would be on the northeast side, but northernmost, sorry, in the middle, from what they've got, but it's not the way that it reads in scripture, because it's Judah, next to him Issachar, then Zebulun. So instead of Judah being in the middle, he's on one end. And so it goes on. And it makes sense when you look at it in the time that the way the children of Israel were going to go from the Mount Sinai, where the tabernacle was erected, to go to the promised land. You'd be heading east to start and then north, and Judah set off first, and so it fits in nicely. fertility decreases, we can glean information in the coming days, like the close proximity of Korah with Dathan, Abiram, and Dan. Korah was in the Levites. He said, well, you know, we want to do what you're doing. And Korah, Dathan, Abiram, and Dan were in the tribe of Reuben. Also, Zimri of the tribe of Simeon, who was saying that Cosby, a Midianitish woman, and for those interested in numbers, Zimri is 257, which is a prime number. And to me, I think that's significant to him being the prince of Simeon. And Cosby is 39, or 3 times 13, perfect rebellion, in which 24,000 people lost their lives in Israel. Well, as I some say the discrepancies in the numbers, I see the wonderful accuracy of the scriptures, the way it all hangs together. Psalm 145 is almost an acrostic psalm, at least in the authorized version. In the Septuagint, the Syriac, the Vulgate, and Arabic and Ethiopic versions, there's an additional verse between verses 13 and 14, and that by doing that, they've completed the alphabet. That missing verse is faithful, is the Lord in all his words, and holy in all his works. This psalm is an inspired anthem in 20 of hymns, like the Organ Book, 24, 32, and 35. Some of this psalm is for now, and some prophetic of the future, although we might hope for the outcome in this dispensation. God has revealed that it will not happen this side of the kingdom. So what does it tell us about God? Psalm 145 verse 8. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. Thankfully he is. Not about you, but me knowing myself, it is comforting to know that the compassion and great mercy are there from God. Note, this first revelation is not that God is the creator, therefore he must be obeyed. God understands us, does not expect perfection from us, but he does expect us to try to be perfect. The example of him, that perfect example, is in Jesus, whom we are meant to remember. He did everything that God asked of him, even unto his death. Psalm 145 verse 9, the Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are after all his works. For now, as in the days of Job, the evil seems to flourish. And for David, it was only when he went to the altar of the Lord that he understood their final end. Faithful is the Lord in all his words and holy in all his works. And verse 14 of 145, the Lord upholdeth all the fallen, raiseth up all those that be bowed down. It's amazing what Jesus did when they came to invent double almost straightened up. And with the healing which he went on and did. But it is no use waiting to be picked up without making an effort. Should we fall down? Verse 16, thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. First thing I did this morning was to go out and feed the birds. And yet, it's what God's provided. I'm just being nothing away, but God has said if they didn't find it here, they'd go and find it somewhere else. Perfect balance in the world is that time seems to have gone wrong, as with the plague of locusts. Nothing would desire to be part of the food chain. Yet that, at least in this dispensation, is the God-given state of affairs. Psalm 145 verse 7. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. It has been done to keep that perfect balance in the world, which unfortunately mankind seems to be trying to make a mess of. If we take time to think about it, we find it true and have a balanced view. verse 18, glorious nouns to all them that call upon him. To all that call upon him in truth. That's what we did at the beginning of this meeting together. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He also will hear their cry and will save them. The Lord preserveth all them that love him, but all the wicked will he destroy. And that has to be when Jesus returns to this earth. There's a certain amount of destruction taking place now, but not in the way that it will be that those who will not accept God will be destroyed. Verse 15 of Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. That's what we read recently. And as we have seen, the ultimate end of the wicked is still future. In fact, we talked to someone who's on the phone, John, sadly, sort of thing, and he was on about it. But when we'll see them, I said, not at least for another 1,000 years. It's only at the end of the kingdom age. There's a second resurrection, a second judgment, and complete immortality that takes place. So while sin will be kept under in the 1,000-year reign, the propensity for sin will still be there, and you and I will need to be ready for it. As we have seen, the ultimate end of the wicked is still future. The message is that God cares for each and every one of us, so we should, alongside David, say, Psalm 145, verse 1, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name for ever and ever. Well, we can start with the beginning of this verse, but the end of it depends on us and also upon the mercy of God. Eternal life is a gift of God, and it's not ours by rights. Yet, nothing daunting, we should live as though we will join our Lord and break bread and drink wine with him anew from his kingdom. The final psalms are hallelujah psalms. Praise ye the Lord. One margin says, or companion Bible, says the teacher in turn corresponds to the first 5 books of the Bible. The first, there can be reference to Genesis. However, I see a group of psalms that can only have real meaning from the kingdom. And in the time that we have left Jesus in Luke's gospel, gives us a warning. There was a crush, but they were there to catch him out, as yesterday's chapter ends. The leaven of the Pharisees was to be taken heed of in his days. How much more today when it comes in so slyly that we might hardly recognize it. Fortunately, we have been forewarned, as were his disciples, and we must avoid even this end of the wedge that would cleave us apart. Now there is no coming around us to catch us out as there was, as there is in some countries. It's a good few years ago now that we were sent from Canada in particular about the increased use of Yahweh throughout the word, and I tend to look at it that Jesus told us to announce God as being our Father. I haven't seen it, but Nunn's Bridge, I was told, had a minute that once said that you read exactly what is written in the Bible. And that needs to come on side. The example for us is in Jesus' life. For the disciples pray our Father, which art in heaven. It's in his death and his resurrection. And here his exhortation firstly to his disciples and then to those who will listen is in Luke 12:4, my servants to my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. Whatever happens to you and me, you and I have an appointment at the judgment seat of Christ when he returns. Verse 6. Jesus said, are not 5 sparrows sold for a farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God. face, destined for who knows what, yet not forgotten. Jesus says, the care that God exceeds even mine. Verse 7 of Luke 12, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. I don't know even remotely how many hairs are on my head. And is really, in reality, it's immaterial. Probably got more hair showing than most. But you're saying, Susan, are you on it? Need a haircut. Do again when they open up. But they are known to God at any instant. The evil comes out from the comb or whatever. So faith is with 12. Also I say to you, whatsoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. Crowds hanging on his every word for the wrong reasons. That would also apply to his immediate disciples when they came to take over in Acts. Today we live in relative peace, but it might come again as the established church moved further away from the apostolic faith. Today is a census. We've been exhorted by someone on the email for sentence to say, well, when it says Christian on it, go to the other one, and you'll go into that second page as it comes up on top of the list, it's Christadelphian. So if we do that, then the authorities will know exactly who we are. Forgot the Christian bit of the book, went through that. And put us both down as being Christadelphians. How big is your barn? Is your repository overflowing with goods? God expects a harvest, and it might is what we store that matters, and because of where we store it. If the fruit of the Spirit, then in verse 11 of Luke 12, when they bring you into the synagogues and into magistrates and powers, take ye no thought of what ye shall answer or what ye shall say. If they are goods rather than fruits, then verse 20, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So we have the warning to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the Pharisaical of our day, the telling of God's care for us, the parable of the rich man and the lessons from nature that we have seen in that Psalms. There is a saying in Teesside, if you can't see rosemary tucking, it's raining. If you can't see it, it's going to rain. Jesus said that his contemporaries could tell the weather, but not the signs of the times. Lectures of that type will seem to be few and far between these days. Perhaps because over the years it seems that times continue as they were from the days of the fathers. Yet we must be ever watchful and ready. The promise is there that Jesus will return to set up the kingdom. And the warning is there in the chapter that we read to be aware of it, to be watching. Could be that we might be asleep when it takes place, but we have to be prepared to jump up and rouse out to sleep and do whatever it takes. So back to the Psalms, and for now we've got in 46 verse 2, while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have my being. Having just turned 40 years, then I realise that time is running out. Because what's left, then that's what I've got to do. Verse 3, put not your trust in princes, nor in the Son of Man, in whom there is no hope. His breath will shortly return to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. And we are seeing quite every day on the television and the news in particular, about what's happening with the coronavirus vaccine in France. and saying that they'll stop exporting the Pfizer vaccine to this country. And then Pfizer sent them a message saying, if you do that, remember that we are dependent on intermediates for that vaccine to come from England, United Kingdom. I looked at it on the paper in the newspapers and from Yorkshire, but saying it's in Cheshire as well. So basically, Europe could be going to cut off their nose to spite their face if they ban the export of Pfizer vaccine. Because it suddenly goes out. They turned their back on the AstraZeneca one initially, said only under 65, now France is saying only under 55. And so it goes on that the evidence is around us that the princes of this world are not to be trusted. Yes, God said they were put in place to look after us to the best of their abilities. But unfortunately, they're not doing a very good job of it. Psalm 146, verse 7, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoner. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord knoweth the righteous. And they're told that there's enough food in the world, but unfortunately it's not always in the right places. There are wars going on. There's atrocities being taken place. All that has got to come to an end, but it won't this side of the kingdom. If you watch Countdown, then Rachel Ray, who's a Jewess, has been involved in anti-Semitism. And that won't end this side of the kingdom. Leviticus 28, and it tells you, if you've got a gift on the 28, will tell you that. And again, with the problems with the so the ethnic minorities in this country as well, the problems stem back from the time of Noah. And they won't end this side of the kingdom. And before 6 verse 10, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. It's interesting that, again, looking at what was happening basically yesterday with Cricket and Paterno about the return of Jesus, it really is that he's got to reign for 1,000 years. The end of it, quite naturally, he's going to give back the kingdom to God. In reality, I think that what God will say is he's doing a good job carrying on. But at the end of it, it will be no more sin, no more death, no more mortality. And that is what we're looking for. In 47 verse 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem, he gathers together the outcasts of Israel. Again, it was interesting to see what Buddha said about that, that the angels are actually, the word means messenger, and the Israel will be gathered probably by the saints, being sent throughout the whole world to bring every Jew back to the land which God promised to their father, Abraham. And so it all nicely fits together. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down from the ground. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. And so we could go on throughout those psalms. And there it is, some of the other verses which are down, which are the dragon read for us. And the last one is Psalm 150 verse 6. But everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Only in the kingdom of God can everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Some of them were told in the kingdom of God not to do it, not to go to Jerusalem to worship. Same as settle where we are. God said if that happens then they'll get no rain. If it's like Egypt which gets no rain, then there'll be the plague. There it is, only in the kingdom of God can everything that hath breath praise the Lord, and may it come soon. Thank you, John.